You had a word there, if you recognize it or not. But what the master is saying, just receive his love. To receive it. Not based upon whether you're worthy enough. Because anyway, we're worthy through him, amen? You know? The devil will give you every reason in the world not to receive his love because you're not good enough. Look what you did. He watched you last night. And so did God. He said, receive my love. Receive my forgiveness. Remember last week we was talking about raise a child and the way he should go. When he's old, we won't depart from it. And recognize, are you a child of God? That means you're going to stumble once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. I've never seen a kid yet be born with track shoes on. I don't want to be the lady here. Never mind. But it's all about, you know, we look at that scripture and we think about raising our kids. I know. But you got to realize when you see Christ come to my life, boom, you're born again. You're a child of God. And you're going to stumble. You're going to try to learn. You know, your brothers and sisters, that's why coming together in assembly, if you can, is awesome. Because your brothers and sisters are going to help you walk a little bit, you know. You ever walk behind a kid, you know, you're kind of like this. Yeah. And like I said before, we already thought, man, I can't wait till he starts walking. And then he starts walking. I go, why did I reach that? You can go in somebody's house and see how tall their kid is. You can see how much stuff's off the floor, you know. If the third shelf of the bookcase is all empty, then you know he's this tall. Fourth one up here, you know. Because the kid grows and grows. And folks, we're the same way. Raise yourself in the ways of the Lord. Yeah, you're going to dirty your diaper once in a while. Okay? It might stink pretty bad. But God doesn't stop you. Just continue to hear that word. Let the word wash you and strengthen and raise you up. Amen. I love God. That personal relationship is what it's all about. You know, religion says you got to do this and this and this. You know, but no, not God. Not Jesus. Come love me. That's what Carol told me. Just come. Just love me, Starkey. With my stinky feet and everything, she still loves me. She might have mentioned to me once in a while. Yeah. But she still loves me. That's the same way. Don't you love people even though they might have stinky feet once in a while? Amen. Well, I mean, look at God. He sees everything. And he saw you from the foundation of the world. He saw you living here today. He said, I'm going to send my son and he's going to rescue you. Hey, I'm proof Jesus didn't come in vain. I need a rescue. Amen. Amen. But we're going to break bread this morning. We're going to share communion. And what the master said, now I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And remember that he already paid the penalty of your sins. He went to the cross. He died. For your sins, he took our death. We deserved it. He didn't. He said, I'm coming down. I'm going to live. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to have the weight of all the sins put on me. I'm going to be buried. I'm raised back up again. Which he did. And send it into heaven. He's done it all. We cannot pay the price of our sins. He already did it. And when you receive that, I mean, I don't know. I always try and put things in perspective. If I went in tomorrow and paid your car payment, I said if, okay, would you go back in the next day and try to pay it? No. I don't think you would you? You'd be, oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. Because you receive that. Yes. You have it right here on... used to be... do they still stamp books on car payments? I don't know how they do that anymore, but... Okay. But you have somewhere you got a receipt right there saying, hey, it was paid. It was paid. I got that. And you carry it with you, right? Oh, it's paid. In case someone stops and try to take your car from you, hey, you didn't make your car payment. Yeah, I know there's some places in town like that, right? You want to carry that receipt with you. It's mine. I paid it this month. It's paid for. Folks, the same way with our lives when the devil creeps up on us and tries to tell us, hey, you pay for your sins. No, no, right here. Here I paid my sins. And I received that payment. Amen? Wow. And joyful. To be joy following Jesus, what he wants us to do. So today we're going to share communion. We're going to remember that through his body, the stripes that he took on his back, brought healing to us. Amen? That blood that was poured out, that was the last sacrifice ever needed for God to forgive us of our sins. We're covered by that blood. And we have that new covenant. No other covenant, nothing else is coming along. You know, a covenant is an agreement, a contract. Okay? Jesus paid for it all. There's nothing you and I can do. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't give enough money to get to heaven. Even though it makes people feel good when you do that, like, oh, we take credit for our salvation because we don't feel worthy enough. I'm telling you, folks, we got to get in our heads. When you receive Christ, say, come on, come be my Lord, my Savior. It's all done. It's all completed. It's paid for. And that's where the pride comes in. Because, yeah, I know, but you know, I need to do this, I need to do that. Don't need to do anything. We want to, but not need to. And that's where that goes back to, we said earlier, Susan talked about renewing our mind by reading the Word and convincing ourselves that, yes, our sins have been forgiven as we received Christ. Then follow Him. Then, we want to share the good news with others. We want to go to others and say, hey man, look what Jesus has done for me. Well, I know, but you know, I don't think of that. Yeah, we'll do the same for you. Yeah, but I'm not that bad of a person. You know, my sins aren't near as bad as Fernando's. In the eyes of God, sin is sin, amen? And we all need that forgiveness for it. And He offers to us freely. So today as we take, eat of the bread and drink from the cup to death, if you remember what the Master did, and that He's still with us today as we receive Him. And I'm telling you what, as we go through these things in these months, in this next year and a half or so, man, I'll tell you what, He will be glorified by the way that we live our life and bring Him glory. Get that mindset. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the ability to gather here. Brothers and sisters following You, Lord. God, we thank You that You did send Your only Son, Your begotten Son, to take the penalty of our sins. And Jesus, we want to thank You for coming. We thank You that You died on the cross for us. We thank You rose from the grave. We thank You for Your Spirit that lives within us. And we thank You that You trust us with Your ministry at this day and age in history. May we continue to worship You and honor You. And may we continue to remember it's all about You living through us. We can't do it, but You can through us, Lord. Remember, it's all about You and not ourselves, God. We do give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off in Matthew 20th chapter today, verse 17. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn there. If not, I'm going to read it to you anyway. We'll be in the 20th chapter of Matthew, verse 17. And again, as followers of Jesus, we turn to His Word to get wisdom and get guidance. Amen? And then we want that. We want that. We want, oh man, Lord, we got the day for us. How can we be encouraged today? Because you know He only wants the best for you, right? And man, when we give our life to Him, He says, okay, follow me. And then you remember this, you have been chosen to live at this time. He could have had you born any time. Oh, no, my mom and dad wasn't living 400 years ago. Okay? But He could have brought you in another way, to another couple. Amen? I mean, but you're here. And as you come and you decide, man, I need Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. Why do we decide that? For myself, because following myself wasn't going very well. You know, doing what I wanted to do felt good once in a while. But then Saturday morning comes or Sunday morning comes. It didn't feel that great. I had that need inside of me. I didn't know what it was for a while. My wife did. Mm-hmm. I was too stubborn to that at one time. But then when I said, yeah, I need the Lord. I need Jesus. And I said this before, I committed my life for 1 year. I'm going to church for 1 year. I'm going to follow, listen to the Word. And if I'm not any different, I'm going to go back to where I was. And then it took me 3 weeks. I surrendered my life to Jesus. And here we are today, 23 years later. And So this word continues to speak to me, and when I read it, and when I hear it, you know, like on Palm Sunday, you know, what are you going to preach about on Palm Sunday? Well, Jesus entering Jerusalem, right? Amen. But as I read and I study it and I listen to the Lord, it's there to encourage us. But I look at myself, you know? And I look at the scriptures. Now, do I fit in this part of the scripture? I'm in this part of the scripture? Or just remember why he came in the first place. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at some of the scriptures here. And in chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 17. It says, now as Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, but on the third day he will raise up again. Wow. I mean, he Jesus knew what he came in for, right? He knew, and he started his ministry at age 30. And now he's about 30 and a half years old now, according to all the research and stuff. He's on the end, he's walking, I mean, this is 2,000 years ago, roughly today. He knows he's going in Jerusalem, but he's coming out different. So before he goes in, and he knows what's going to take place, the lies against him and stuff, he gets hold of his people and listen, guys. I'm going to Jerusalem. And when I get in there, they're going to take custody of me. They're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. They're going to pour my blood out. And then they're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm coming back. So he shared that with them. And I mean, he's quite a, what do you call them things anymore? Posses, is that what you call when people follow people around? Entourage could be one. You know, I think rappers got posses, you know. And of course, also bank robbers got posses after them too, but either way. So he poured his heart out to them. And what do they say? Oh, verse 20, I'm glad you asked me that. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, which is James the Great and John, remember John the Revelator, I guess his mother, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making requests of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They said to him, we are able. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and sit on my left, this is not mine to give, but for those for whom he has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the 10 became indignant, upset, with the two brothers. Now think about it a second. Hey, Daryl. We're going to cross the street. And I get across the street there. They're going to grab a hold of me. And they're going to beat me. They're going to whip me. Daryl, you're even going to crucify me. But in 3 days, I'm coming back. You kind of look at me and say, oh, hey, can I have your car? Yeah. See what I'm saying? You're not really hearing what I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying? You've been hanging out with me for 3.5 years now. We've been doing an awesome thing, raising the dead and changing water into wine and that kind of stuff. And so I'm trying to pour my heart out. And maybe to a degree, it's like, okay, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? So you go past the part about crucifying and whipping that kind of stuff. I'm coming back in 3 days. And he said, hey, can I have your car? Man, you kind of missed it, didn't you? And right now, I believe the disciples are doing the same thing, the followers of Jesus. They're kind of missing. He's trying to, they forget that he said, hey, listen. Oh, wow, you looked up. I'm stepping in. Whatever they do to me, they're going to do to you. They kind of missed that part. He's trying to, okay, get you a heads up. And I'm going to tell you something today, guys. Born at this time, with the coming of the Master, could be any second now. Oh, they've always said that. Well, it has never been like this before. They are coming after the church. Understand, they're coming after you. It's no different than it was 2,000 years ago. When we look at Jesus, folks, this was going to happen to us. They only tried, looky, for the last 2 or 3 years, they try to shut the churches down. They try to shut your mouth down, amen? Coming after Jesus. The devil wants to shut you down because you're telling people about the Lord. But we were called for a moment like this. If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, that's where this word comes in. The word comes in and encouraged me. Yeah, I know what they did to Jesus. And he said he's going to be with me when they ain't going to forsake me. With me to the ends of the earth. But just like the Master, because he raised up on the third day, you and I will never die. Think of that. But we have been called and we receive this. We receive this. That's our calling. And he's saying, hey, listen, don't take it lightly. This is serious stuff. It is serious, man. Death and hell is serious. But man, when you come to me and you recognize your sins you had and the penalty you had to pay for it, you recognize, man, God loves me. Jesus paid my penalties. Woo! Okay, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Okay, but listen. When you come to me, think first. The Bible says, hey, before you put your hand in the plow, think first. Don't look back because, yes, yes, I love you. I come to rescue you, but what they've done to me, they're going to do to you. I'm amazed the last 2 or 3 years, we see this stuff in the political realm going on right now, okay? And we see the attacks on Donald Trump. I don't care who you are, what you are on politics. I'm just saying you got to realize this, that during his administration, he stood up for your rights. He stood up for God. He stood up for the assembly and worship God. He even confessed to follow Jesus. I'm not here to say he doesn't. But they continue after him. Look, they indicted last week for something 6, 7 years ago they already knew that didn't take place. But what's taking place, it's the globalists. It's Satan coming after to shut down your mouth. They'd no longer be able to speak about Jesus. There's a couple of places, I wish I remember the town, they already passed a law, so they go talk about Jesus. You can't witness. Folks, we have to decide. You know, is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Did he rescue you from your sins? Do you love him? Inside of him? Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not quite sure if I can handle all that. You can't. But Christ in you can. And how can you do it? Oh, man. By this word. By receiving the word. You know, he just wants everybody to be realized up front that, man, it's no cakewalk to follow Jesus. You know that? It's serious stuff. But who else can we follow? Satan, the devil. So he's being up front with, man, it's going to get uglier. I think it's not me. I'm already ugly. But this world will continue to decay. I mean, and through this decaying process, he's shaking the church. He's shaking those, hey, listen, are you for me or are you against me? You going to follow me or are you going to deny me? That's what he's saying up front. He's getting it down to where those who are going to stand and present his word and love him and love those who hate them to share the gospel. The Master right here, he's walking in Jerusalem. He's going where he knows what's going to take place. Wow. Could I do that? Could I walk across the street right now, somebody come in here? Anybody watch the movie Billy Jack back in the day? Remember that? Some of you guys are too young maybe. But he's in the restaurant and the bad guys came in and dumped flour all over the kids and stuff. Remember it all broke your heart. And of course, Billy, you know, takes his boots off. He's going to go over there and take care of that. Hey, don't go across there, man. They'll kill you. They'll destroy you. Hey, what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And he walks across that street. Anybody remember the movie? Am I just talking myself? Okay. He walks across the street knowing there's like 20 guys over there. But he knows what he has to do. And he goes across there, he meets that one guy. And I love the scene, I'll go back to the scriptures. The guy walks up to him, you know, and says, what are you going to do, you combat veteran? Something like that. You can't football these guys. No, I can't. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Remember what he said he was going to do?
Yep.
I'm going to take my right foot, I'm going to plant it on the left side of your face. And you know what? Ain't nothing to do about it. Oh, you think so? Yeah. And the fight was on. But the thing of it was, he knew what he was doing to protect those kids was the right thing to do. He was prepared for it. He was trained for it, okay? Folks, same with us. We know what the right thing is to do. We know what the Word of God says. This Word is training us. Now, we're not going to cross there and throw our right foot on people's left faces, that kind of stuff. But what it is standing on the Word of God out of love and sharing that. Even though people will hate you for it. These are the days that we're coming in. Are you prepared for it? We got to. It's not what Jesus can give us. It's what He already done for us. Amen? Everything else is bonus. Here you got his friends arguing about who's going to sit on the right hand and the left hand side. And he said, can they sit there? Are they prepared to take on the cup? Otherwise, are they going to be able to live the same life that I did? But yes, you're right. And they will drink from the same cup I do. In verse 25 of Matthew 20 says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be the first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. And two blind men sitting by the roads, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out the more, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, the crowd said, shut up. Come on, this is Jesus, man. All of a sudden, this crowd is religious. Hey, Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem, man. We're headed down there with him. You don't know him. You're not following him. Lord, have mercy. Quiet down. I ain't going to shut up. I ain't going to quiet down. I need Jesus. Lord, have mercy. And here's Jesus. He's walking to Jerusalem. He's going. He knows he's going to his death. And he stops. He stops. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be open. And Jesus, in a move of compassion, he touched their eyes and immediately regained their sight. And then they followed him. Wow. I mean, can you imagine? Going through his death sentence, knowing he's going to be killed in 4 days? You know, how nervous would you be? Me and my mom, for dinner, I'm going to do this. And see, I'm going to have dinner tonight, Long John Silver's. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Hey, Starkey. No. Hey, shut up, will you, man? You know what I'm going to do? There's nobody there. Okay, I'm just saying. I put myself first. Most of it would be, can you imagine? You're standing in line. You're at your favorite restaurant, standing in line. Your phone rings, and you answer. Hello? Pray for you. Hey, listen, I'm really busy right now. Okay? And I'll call you back in a couple hours, all right? And I'll call you back. Man, I'm going to step outside and call them. I'll lose my place in line. Took me 3 weeks to get reservations. Probably, maybe. He might do that. Here's Jesus. He took the time. He's showing us the same thing. Don't get so wrapped up in your life. They didn't have time to honor the Lord, to take that time. Who knows, maybe he was born for a day just like that. But here he is, his heart of compassion. They cried out to him. And he answers their prayer. Same with us today, we cry out to him. He's there for us. But we'll find out later on, going into Jericho, when they approach Jerusalem and come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, I'm in Matthew 21:1, if you're following, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. And most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. They want to do something with Jesus coming in. I mean, here he comes. Finally, he's coming into Jerusalem. He's going to come in because, man, he's going to overthrow the Roman government. Woo! Watch it, man. They're messing us. We see what this dude can do. Man, he can raise the dead. He can put people in office. Look at all the miracles he did. He just gave eyesight to the blind. They were sick and tired of their government. Were they not? They were second-class citizens. The Jews were. They were excited. Put your coat down. We're going to put your new coat down? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get a tax decrease when he gets an office down here. We can buy another coat. A lot better. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Put it down there. The crowds going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. We just learned Hosanna means praise to the Son of David. Why was he the Son of David? Well, they're talking about the lineage of Jesus, and you're clear back to King David. Okay? We don't use that type of lineage today, saying, I'm the son of Brooke because my dad's name was Vincent. But back then, they used that lineage, the Son of David, on down through. Follow me on that? He's the son of God, but son of David was his kingly inheritance. When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred up saying, who is this? And the crowd was saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And they spread their coats, as Mark says it. Mark 11:8 says the same thing. Many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. And those who went in front and those who were following were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Brother Luke has it written this way in the 19th chapter, verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, a colt, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. I mean, there's another miracle. Sometimes you miss it. This is a foal. This is a colt. Never been worn before. Worn? Rode before. That's better. Jesus mounted that thing. It didn't buck them off. It obeyed him. Isn't that awesome? Man. Verse 37, as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen, shouting, blessed the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Wow. The whole crowd of disciples began to praise God back in 37, joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. They don't quite realize yet what Jesus is doing. They're basing their praise on the miracles that he did. And the greatest miracle was going to die on that cross for our sins. They didn't recognize that. You know, we get wrapped up the same way at times, is that we get our eyes off of God and look at the things, and we can look at President Trump, and we say, man, we need him back in power. We need what he did here and here and here, because all the things that he did. But what we need, number one, is God. And I was thinking about this coming in today. You know, the mega hats, make America great again. God says, no, make America God's again. Ah! So I don't know if I'll get a copyright on that hat if I make it or not, you know. But the thing of it is make America God's again is number one. He used many different instruments to do that. We can't get our sight on just Donald Trump as the physical powerful that he is. We can keep our eyes on God and pray that he'll place someone in power. But the thing of it is, guys, it ain't going to make a difference. Because your enemy is not going to stop. He's not going to stop. He's going to continue. He's going to come and continue to attack the Christians. He's going to continue to attack those who love Jesus, those who are standing on the Word, who are sharing the gospel, who are living. They're not going to stop. They're going to continue on, no matter who goes in office. They're going to stop. And if we put all our hope on one man getting back into office, hang in there a year and a half, man. Things are going to be different. Folks, why would you want to hang in for a year and a half? As Jesus said, we need to say the same thing. We need to be about our Father's business. Now that being followers of Jesus and sharing the gospel. You know, when Jesus was talking, we call them the Beatitudes on the mountain. And he was telling people, you got to absorb me. He says, yeah, actually, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Well, he meant, you have to consume me into your life. Consume me. The only way. And many of them turned away. Said, man, that's kind of hard to handle. Be kind of like me in my old days. Hey, listen. I went to church Christmas and Easter. Come on, get off my back. Well, Stark, I mean, if you love the Lord, you want to be. You might not be able to come to church, but you want to be. If Christ is in you, you want to be here. And a lot of times you can't make it. Amen? There's things that come up. I didn't have that desire. I basically come to church as a punishment. And I kind of come to shut Carol up. I mean, seriously? I mean, I just. That was good for another year. Amen. Amen. Now I can understand why you want to go to church on Wednesday nights. He was there Sunday. Praise God, I saw the light, you know. What's that? Oh, amen. Okay, amen. And so that's what he was doing here, going in, tell them disciples to shut up. He said, man, I'll tell you, the stones will even praise me. Wow. They were excited. Here he comes. You know, they're waving these babies around. Waving around, excited. And he has tried and tried and tried to tell them what he's going to do. And we catch up with him later on. We find out in Luke 23:21. We went from, yay, he's here, he's here, he's here. And all of a sudden they realize he wasn't running for public office. He didn't come to lower my taxes. In fact, he told me to pay the taxes. I said, give the Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to me what's mine. He didn't come to replace the board of trustees. In Jerusalem? He didn't come in and say, bow to me, Caesar. That's what we put him in office for. That's why I threw my coat down. That's why I said, yeah, here he comes. We're going to kick some Roman hiney. Here we go. Excited. Woo-hoo! Man, I told him, he's going to be different. Jesus is coming, man. Hang in there. I'm telling you. I seen this dude. I seen him raise the dead. Oh, my land. You talk about a smorgasbord. Woo-hoo, I seen people. Man. Hang in there. And here he comes in front of all the people. I've been witnessing these things. Hey, he's coming! He got arrested. They beat him. The next thing we hear, the crowd cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Because they were so excited, they accepted and received him under false pretenses. He came to establish his kingdom. They didn't understand. He did not understand. And they turned on him so quickly. It happens sometimes, even today. People mean well. But they may come to Jesus. Ooh, I'm telling you, all your problems are going to be gone. I'm telling you, I've seen people come to Jesus and, boy, he did this and this and this. He'll do the same for me. I'll start my own business. Yeah, I'm coming. Now, he does a lot of awesome things, right? But the number one thing is he pays the penalty of our sins. Now, we come to Jesus for any other reason, we don't have attachment. We don't recognize the sin that was in our life. And the penalty of the sins, that death separates us from God. We can do the same thing. Went in the church today. I even went down that altar. Yep, I went down there. Woo-wee. Yeah. I'm on Jesus. Yes, come on in, Lord. Wow. Woo-hoo-hoo. When you go out, wait a second. You're out. I went to church Sunday. I went to work Wednesday and got fired. On Thursday, they come and repossess my car. And Friday, the taxi ran over my cat. That's what Jesus does for me. I ain't going back. Why? Because we didn't come to Jesus for the right reason. But he promised you, I am your sacrifice. I pay the penalty of your sins. Come and receive me. Receive my forgiveness. Invite me to be your Lord. Lord is saying, you're going to follow me. Amen? It's not pick and choose. We've all been pick and choose at one time, right? You ever start reading part of the Bible when it really stepped on your toes and you kind of turn real quick? Amen. But this is all for us. To strengthen us. I'll do a quick demonstration and I'll be done. I shared this a few years ago. I just love the way it works out. I'm going to give it this way. And Rick, he managed Annan Flight Company at one time. He was a manager or the president or something. Big shot, okay? Plant manager, thank you. Okay. Now imagine there's two shifts up there, Annan's. You got day shift and you got second shift, okay? And we're all working second shift. That's a frame of mind here, okay? Here we go. Maybe this company, Annan, being located in Coshocton, but was bought out, taken control by someone who doesn't live in Coshocton, he really doesn't care much for you or other workers from Coshocton. Now, this company had their people running it, and in fact, they brought in a lot of workers from outside Coshocton, and even your boss wasn't one of them. So, Rick sold out Annan's. Bought a motorhome, went to Texas, okay? The new company came in. Now, the day shift people and the second shift people are all on second shift now. And the new people they brought in is on day shift. They brought in a lot of people from outside, get shocked, and even your new boss now isn't one of us. He was from outside Coshocton, and he didn't treat you the same as the other workers from out of town. The out of town towners would take longer breaks than they were allowed, late coming to work, going home early, and they never got into trouble. But for you and the other ones from Coshocton, every time you sneeze, the boss got on to you. Wear a mask, probably you say now, right? You couldn't do anything without having the boss get on you. All the Coshocton workers kept hoping for a new boss, someone who would take over and give you the better treatment and teach the other ones a thing or two. You will get even. You wanted to get even for the way you had been treated. Well, the company needed another boss, and you and your fellow workers thought Fernando would be the ideal boss. He's from Coshocton. He's one of us. He is strong, and he even stated he was going to be a boss in his company someday. Well, with the thought of a new boss coming to the company, all Coshocton workers got excited, and they couldn't wait for the new boss. And Fernando, one of them, would be the ideal boss. Excited. Oh, man, hang in there. Fernando's going to be the new boss, Daryl. Come on, come on. Well, the day came for Fernando, now the new boss, to take over his new position. And how surprised he was on the first day on the new job. He pulled into the driveway of the company, and all of his fellow Coshocton workers lined the driveway and cheered for Fernando as he pulled down the driveway into the parking lot. Hey, here comes Fernando. We're all out there. Hey, yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, finally. Man, something is going to be different. Then all the Coshocton workers clapped as Fernando walked into the plant, thanking God that things were about to change. Yes, sir. Finally, it would be Coshocton workers' turn to be on the upper end. One of their own would now be in charge. We'll teach them a lesson. Mm. So you see, you got a new boss, but not a new owner. Woo. This boss is now one of you, and you expect him to be in your favor. But you don't understand. See, the boss wants to please the owner, to uphold his requests and his demands. What the boss, who is one of us, is doing is helping us to be in compliance with the request of the owner. That way we may find favor with him and keep our jobs. Kind of important. See, the new boss, who is one of us, could take his power and position and use it to make friends with us, allowing us to goof off, so to speak, and not to do our jobs. That may last for a while, but in the long run, it will cost us our position with the company, and we'll be kept out of the building. If this new boss is truly a friend of yours, if it is truly one of us who will tell us what the boss wants and how for us to achieve this, also he will help us, show us the way. This new boss doesn't even tell you what the company's talking about. How many of us would throw a fit, rebelling against the person declaring he is a traitor? He is one of us, but he is not a friend of ours because he is harsh with us. Or at least we say he is because we don't get our own way. In reality, he is the best friend you could have because he was willing to allow you to disown him, willing not to be invited to the next barbecue, willing not to be well spoken of? Why was he willing to do all that? I mean, can you imagine becoming the boss and your co-workers treating you like terrible? You could walk into the new owner or the manager and say, listen, fire them second shift Coshocton people. They hurt my feelings. But because in the long run, Fernando knew, once you looked at why he was doing what he did, you would very appreciate, and you would always have a place in the company. If you did things your way, it would have cost you and maybe your whole family everything you have. And the most important, your place in the company, which included a great retirement plan. If you got your own way, and Fernando would have been to you, it would cost you not just your job, but that would reflect your wife, your kids, your retirement, everything. And have you ever made a decision now being hot-headed? That wasn't a good decision? You ever get hot-headed and somebody cools you down before you make a bad decision? Amen? Never have? Okay. Get married, you will. Everything that Fernando did was out of his love for those who worked for him. Even though he didn't understand, he continued to do what the owner required of him, which was in your favor. If Fernando would have given up because of the hatred towards him by his own people, it would have cost them their jobs and much more. That is what happened to Jesus. If you look back at the scriptures as they were yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were expecting someone to sit on the throne and take over the empire from Rome. They were like the construction workers, tired of being mistreated, tired of being told what to do all the time, while others, because they weren't Jews, had what appeared to be a better life. They were expecting Jesus to kick some Roman authority and take over, but when things went not according to their wants and desires, a lot of them quickly turned to Jesus and turned on him and wanted him killed. But Jesus was always up front with them on what he was going to do again. If we look at Matthew 20:17, once again, he says, Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. And on the way, he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. But on the third day he will raise up again." They overlooked that part of it. You know, there's a lot of things in the scriptures you might not understand. Why does it say do this, not to do this? Because God loves you and cares for you. He cares for you about today and tomorrow, but eternity. Remember, he's the one that went to the cross and died for us. Satan didn't. But Satan hates us. He hates Jesus. And to shut down the master today, he comes through us. Why? Because you are his hands and his feet. You're his voice. He works through you. And Satan will do everything he can to disown you or disrobe you of the authority Christ has given you. Everything he can to get you down and out, to give up. He'll even keep you busy. Not every good thing that you have in your life comes from God. We got to look at it and see what it's for and how to apply it. I mean, we look at a lot of musicians who makes millions and millions of dollars a year. Keep them busy. But they're headed to hell because they don't have Jesus. Jesus promises number one thing, to be our sacrifice for our sins. Number one, he took your penalty, took my penalty. We recognize that. That's the true thing. That's the whole thing. Where we celebrate this time of the year, that our death penalty has been taken away from us. Well, there's plenty of scriptures about blessings and what God does for us. Amen. He's a good, good Father. But don't just look for the blessings first. Look for the sacrifice that he did for us. That in the heat of the moment, when things go sour, we don't yell, "Crucify him!" Meaning, I give up on Jesus, I'm walking away from him. Just as he did then, he'll do now. He'll still be standing there waiting for us to turn back around to him. And he'll say, "Hey, I won't sing it. I'll walk this way." Amen? That's the whole thing. He means the best for us. Fernando, you're a pretty good boss. We were that close to unionizing, I'm telling you. Yeah. Well, we just take a moment and just let's just bow our heads for a second. Just kind of close your eyes and just think for a minute. Your life of Jesus. You know, he's awesome. And this decision many here have made, an awesome decision. He said, "I don't give you any fear. Just rely on me. Let me strengthen you." This day has been prepared. And this season has been seen from the foundation of the earth. And there's nothing that we cannot do together, Jesus says. And he talks to his people and he says, strengthen one another. Watch out for one another. Encourage one another. Comfort one another. Correct one another. All out of love. And when this world rejects you, when this world condemns you, when it comes against you, hey, they came against me. And you see how things turned out. Just trust me. Trust me, says the Lord. And Father, we do thank you for your word today. We do thank you, Father, for the written word. We thank you for the encouragement it brings. We thank you for the mirror effect it has in our life, that we can see ourselves through your eyes, Father. Thank you for the strength you've given us. Thank you for the forgiveness you offer us. And Father, truly, we are your followers of your Son, Jesus. May we never look back, but continue to look forward. And may you bring glory for all that you do. Through the cross, Jesus took our shame. He set us free from the past. He set us free from the ugliness people have spoken to us. He has set us free from the things that we've done that caused many, many bad things to happen to us. Because of poor choices. He set us free from all that. It's under the blood of Jesus. May as we walk out here today, may we walk as free people. Free from the past. Free from whatever anybody has to say about you. May we walk victoriously what God has already said about you. And that is, you are my child. And may that bring you strength and peace every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. And don't look back. Amen.